Uh-oh.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, crazies and simpletons, I challenge you to challenge yourself and question whether or not we all need help. I don't believe in love, but the thought of all of you releases uncontrollable endorphins in my brain. So a mental picture of the audience is what I have within my frame. So maybe you're listening live and you'd like to get involved. Well, you can call in with 310-982-4273 to get through. Hello, my little jelly bean. Did you really think that you wouldn't need to take another trip to the barbershop and trim that fro and edge that hairline? And don't forget to kick the conversation. You've got me, Father Teresa, stepping out of my wine cellar and putting down my fancy shining chalice. And to crack open a beer with Alfred. And hopefully we can get Y. Jarrell back on the line and try to get Cuffy to come back in. Because I like to get the educators and I like to get the smart people and the hardcore free thinkers. And this, of course, is brought to you by Black Free Thinkers. And another episode inspired by the boss, Kim, going to be doing weddings, breeding and domestic life, funerals, one quick overrated underrated, and my William Lane Craig watch. All right, folks, I'm going to need you to dig back in the archives. Not very far. So make sure you dig into that at the Ask a Skeptic and a Scientist. I dare you. That's a double entendre. This is a very fun show. I listened live, but intellectually, the Reason, Science, and Skepticism show is way out of my league. I like to just listen. I don't want to bring down the quality with the kind of questions I might have. Like, oh, what are gummy bears made out of? Like, nah, that's a solid show. Go back and listen to that episode. These are the kind of inquiries I would make. I want to know. I don't know what they're made out of. It's insane. You know, maybe I don't want to know. And the YOLO episode. Now that was an exciting and well populated discussion. There were a lot of callers on the line, and there was a little damage done by Washington State with me forgetting how to properly press mute on my phone and leaving my PC speakers on, and Travis Simmons tossing out the word bitch. Sorry about that, gang. I inadvertently gave you a preview of the last episode of the Queen's English podcast, which is a half-eloquent and half-belligerent commentary on the RuPaul's Drag Race program with myself and drag performer Annihilation. Now, what's going on there, Alfred? You on the line?
Not yet. He's not here yet, but we can push it on.
Yep. And that's my fault. I am a bad friend, and Alfred is my co-host on the podcast. I only talk to him like four times a month. I am a shitty friend. I gotta tell you that. I gotta send him some flowers and candy. I'm forgetting holidays, birthdays. I'm being a bad guy. And one more announcement sort of request before I monologue into this. I had to mention, we were talking about a little before the show, I wanted to mention that I was looking up this thing called this patriarchal bargain. And if there's anybody that's well-read on this or lived this, wrote about this, knows about this, contact me. You can contact me at fatherteresa@ymail.com. That's Teresa without the H. Or you can catch me on the Twitter at the Father Teresa. Yeah, contact me. I'd love to learn some more about this and then do another podcast about it. It's interesting, and I'd really like to dig into that thing. And that's what we like at Black Free Thinkers. We like it interesting. Tell them, Kim.
Oh yes. We love to keep it interesting around these parts. And you can contact us basically all over the internet. You can reach us on Facebook. You have Father Teresa on Facebook. You can leave him a message there. You can hit up Black Free Thinkers, our Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, what have you. And if it's a question for Father Teresa or Dragnut, I will make sure that it is passed along.
Yep, and you also something I have, and you can do this too. You can go look in Google Black Free Thinkers Praxis. And then it's an online newspaper, and you can get international news. There's just columns you can pick. You can pick politics, And there's even one where you can dig right into violence against women. Like, bang, you can go right there. I like to look at it every morning. It's a great news, and you can just slap it right there up in your bookmarks bar. Bam, click on it. You got your Black Free Thinkers right with your coffee in the morning. It's fantastic for you. It's good for you. And now my next show, I want to dig into different types of homophobic. And one that I think is the most popular is the fear of being labeled as gay. It's a type of homophobic I want to talk about, and I want to revisit the Kinsey scale and how to apply it to sex education. And while looking up this one about the weddings, I wanted to find some sort of nice, pretty poetry, a story, a narrative, something that's pro-marriage that would talk about how beautiful it was, to get a perspective outside of my own, you know? I don't want to just preach to the choir and then have the choir yell back at me. But all I could find were these vitriolic political statements and advertisements for goods and services related to weddings. So I had to go with the technical description, but I'll try to breathe some life into it with a little artistic license and some flair. I'm going to try to figure this thing out. So, into our segment, weddings. Well, it's March, isn't it? A politician saw his shadow and predicted an extended season of austerity. We're done giving thanks for food we don't need and rushing out to buy electronics we'll complain about. We're done Xing Christ out of Christmas and we've soared through Valentine's Day. And our next step is the spring equinox. And looking at the statistics, this is a time when many shall be asking for thy hand in marriage. Marriage, also called matrimony or wedlock, is a social union or legal contract between people called spouses that establishes rights and obligations between the spouses and their children, and between the spouses and their in-laws. Now, one definition of marriage, it varies according to different cultures, but it is principally an institution in which interpersonal relationships, usually intimate and sexual, are acknowledged. When defined broadly, marriage is considered a cultural universal. In many cultures, marriage is formalized via a wedding ceremony. In terms of legal recognition, most sovereign states and other jurisdictions limit marriage to opposite-sex couples or two persons of opposite gender in the gender binary, and some of these allow polygamous marriage. In modern times, beginning with the first decade of the 21st century, several countries and some other jurisdictions have established legal recognition for same-sex marriage. In some cultures, marriage is recommended or compulsory before pursuing any sexual activity. People marry for many reasons, including legal, social, libidinal, emotional, financial, spiritual, and religious. Marriages can be performed in a secular civil ceremony or in a religious setting. The act of marriage usually creates normative or legal obligations between the individuals involved. Some cultures allow the dissolution of marriage through a divorce or an annulment. Polygamous marriages may also occur in spite of national laws. Now, marriage can be recognized by a state, an organization, a religious authority, a tribal group, a local community, or peers. It is often viewed as a contract. A civil marriage is the legal concept of marriage as a governmental institution, irrespective of religious affiliation, in accordance with marriage laws of the jurisdiction. Forced marriages are illegal in some jurisdictions. That is a rather creepy final sentence to that piece that I dug up there. Now, my image of a wedding when I was a young warthog, it was exaggerated by movies and children's books, of course, Disney. And I'd yet to draw the connection between people who I saw that were actually living as married and these supposed grand ceremonies that solidify the marriage. I just knew it was an exciting and lovely event with cake at the end. Fucking cake, man. That's radical, dude. And at age 7, about to attend my first wedding, my mother gets me this fancy suit with the fancy shoes and socks, too. I even had a tie that I could clip on my shirt and look like Al Bundy. And we go to the event, and it sucked Sasquatch toes. It was horrible. It was in the elementary school gymnasium / cafeteria / auditorium, and now / site of one of the most disappointing and most boringest evenings of an otherwise charmed childhood. Some fella, who doesn't even have a commanding presence or any leadership quality, is standing there in front with a big dress thing on, reading the Bible, and I'm sitting in this hard-ass chair, and all the grown-ups smell like too much cologne and perfume. The juice is tart, the food is yuck, and I feel embarrassed that I wanted to be there. And the cake, come on, son. It was the kind of cake where they use that Cool Whip, whipped cream type of stuff for icing. I hate that. That's disrespect to cake. Now, I chose not to elect myself as a wanting attendee of any more weddings after that. And actually, as I aged up a bit, I found that I don't think we need the words married or husband or wife. I think we're just used to them. And I'm aware that my species is nostalgic and wants to hold on to special words that we easily understand and can identify without much thought. But there's harm, though, when these words are rewarded with privilege and social status. If I were to internalize and aspire to climbing the ranks and earning my position among my elite male comrades who have also matriculated to the upper echelon of manhood to be acknowledged and recognized as a husband, I would find it reasonably pragmatic to enter the marriage for the quality of the domestic companionship. Without that, then it is like living with a coworker, and my jab is merely to present an image of romantic tranquility in public and to try to pretend we don't irritate each other in private while maintaining the interior of our dwelling. It's just a long-term career, folks, and you're not going to get much of a bonus at the end. You know, I cannot go into that sort of that social construct, which is already makes it something that could get funky. I can't go into it on those terms, you know. I simply don't find such an existence to be how I would like to spend any of the time in the only life that I'm going to live. Now, if we get Alfred on the line soon, he can actually talk about having a real marriage. He actually got married and had a kid and is living that. And actually, if you watch his YouTube videos, sometimes you can hear his son in the back disagreeing with him. I think he's disagreeing with him. He's just yelling. But I'm sure, like, these are, you know, like, these are primal sounds of, I'm not feeling you, son. That's an ad hominem attack. I'm not feeling that. Reload my juice cup.
Honey. I think this is Nicole on the line wanting to talk to you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
How are y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. Just tuning in. Cam, I've seen on your page. I always forget that the show is on Tuesdays. I'm so used to preparing for some of the shows towards the end of the week that I sometimes forget about. My brother, Father Teresa here.
Yeah.
Over here talking weddings.
Well, you know, atheists can't get married. Their marriages aren't legalized. That was a joke.
Right, yeah.
You heard the pause. Everyone paused like, oh, what you know that we don't?
All right.
Like, who did I vote for that I should not have voted for? But then again, my district is gerrymandered. Why am I voting?
Right. So I just called in, so I didn't catch all of what you guys were going over. I heard a little bit of the definitions before of marriage before I tuned out before. So interesting. Just ready to hear the show and hear what you guys have to say about it.
Yeah, I was sorely displeased with the first wedding. Are your computer speakers on?
I'm sorry. No. Are you getting some feedback?
Yeah.
Like
okay.
A late
echo.
Okay, I'm going to hang up and call back.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Bye.
All right, but yeah, Alfred did it, and my sister did it, and and I've seen like older people that I lived with towards like the end of my time in the foster care system. And I don't want to say I don't think everybody looks miserable, but it looks like it doesn't look fun to me. Like maybe it has something to do with you. You know how somebody the typical reaction would be like, oh, you're just young, you just want to party forever, and it's like no. But I do think that you should, I should get the testosterone out. Work, save a little bit, live, get to know me, read something, write something, get to know some people, do some podcasts, do something, try a few different jobs, go take a class, learn how to crochet my own leg warmers, all right, just do, find myself as a person, and then enter into this whole idea of marriage, maybe around like the age of 38, maybe even like 42. Wait until I'm a fully developed human. And, with medical advancements, I might end up being like 95 years old. So do you really want to pick the person when you're 17 and get married when you're 18 and have a kid when you're 19? And then by the time you're 32, you're trying to figure out what the hell you did? You develop as a person first. Don't just go jumping into that. And in the relationship world, I'm going to babble a bit because Alfred's not in there. But even in the relationship world, folks, look at red flags. Come on, stop ignoring these things. That little stuff where you're like, oh, maybe that's kind of strange. Maybe it'll go away in next week, 3 months. 5 years, it's escalated, it's become a problem, it's something that could destroy your relationship, and now you have produced offspring together, and it would affect the offspring because you ignored the little red flag that the referee drew down at the first play, but you got all the way to the end zone not playing the game right, and now your points don't count.
Exactly.
I just went into off season football right there. We will be giving you some Cowboys news over the summer, all right? What's going on in training camp?
Right, some training camp. Marriage to me, it just seems like a really big commitment. And you just better know that the person that you're intending to marry or you're going to marry is the right one for you, because you're going to be spending a lot of time together, and that honeymoon is going to end. So after the honeymoon is over, now what?
Yeah, and like things that I think people might find too meticulous, they might find too choreful or too obsessive. Like, I mean, it does come all the way down to how you're squeezing that toothpaste out of the tube that could just drive them nuts over a decade and a half and just blow up the whole relationship over that. Get down to the details. If you are going to be domestic, romantic companions for a long term, you're interviewing each other for this gig. You're taking a serious leap there. How do you spend money? Do you both spend money the same? Do you spend your weekends the same? Do you have the same annual habits, daily and weekly habits?
Exactly.
It's a serious deal.
Oh, yeah. No, with me, it's, some of the things that most people would consider minute issues actually get on my nerves. The big things you can work with, if I ever ever get married, they still have to have their own house.
Yeah, I think that would be so dope. Not live together or like, and you know, some man, it's so easy to find myself quoting a comedian. But when Dennis Leary said, you should just have separate bedrooms, you know, come out of the bedrooms,
yeah,
have sex, go back in your bedroom.
I'd say separate houses so we can miss each other.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, and I can be home. Right,
exactly.
And then I'm like, hey, I want to come over. Let's go meet somewhere. Go down and get a medium rare steak burger to slam down my face. Let's have a good time.
There you go. There you go. Nicole is back. Yeah, I think she is. Hold on. But yeah, no, I just think it's the whole thing that's interesting. There you go, Nicole.
No,
we can't.
No.
Oh, she's not ready yet. But yeah, no, the whole thing is interesting. But yeah, no, I would want them to have their own place, have their own things, and then maybe after 20, 30 years we can get together and live together. But what do you think would be different at an atheist wedding? So, you know, you have your Christian wedding and an atheist wedding. What would you like to see at an atheist wedding?
See, that's just the thing. There's no rules to it because it really doesn't exist. You can go wild. For me, I guess I'm not that wild. Maybe because I'm aging up, I'm becoming a boring old guy. But let's say I'm going to have a ceremony to celebrate establishing a romantic companionship and transitioning into a domestic setting. I would like for the ceremony to be in December or January, you know, when the snow is real thick, so I can have it outdoors in the snow. No suits, no ties, no hideous bridesmaid dress, and then you're forever ingrained in a picture in that horrible dress. Sir, I like RuPaul's Drag Race. Just wear something practical for the weather. All right, no need for a preacher. You know, I would just want some cool older person to stand up there and talk about relationships and kick some advice or ideas. Get a singer, a comedian, in a punk rock band. Why not? You know what? The whole damn wedding can just be the reception. You know, and I'd want a nonstop stream of rum and hot chocolate for everyone because we're outside in the snow. And what that thing, the altar, whatever, wherever you stand on and you do the ceremonial kiss, go ahead and make that out of an ice sculpture, because I really like the snow. I'm from Washington State. I grew up by the mountain, and I like the snow. And that's what I would want to do as far as an atheist wedding. I don't know, Kim, what would you do?
For an atheist wedding, well, first of all, everybody has to pay for their own food. Bring your own meal. And instead of throwing rice, maybe we'll throw glitter or something like that. You know, nothing that will cause pigeons to show up a little bit later. But actually, to be honest with you, I've never really even thought about, you know, weddings or anything of that to that extent. I just figured that one day if I were to meet the person that I chose to sign some paperwork with, that it would just be something real simple, you know, a handful of friends and family, something nice, intimate, romantic, and not spend a lot of money on a wedding or a reception, because you can take that money and use it towards something else. But as far as, like, you know, wedding traditions and all of that, that type of thing doesn't bug me. But if the person that I'm with, if they wanted a wedding, then I guess I probably would work with them on that. So, yeah, I never really thought about it too in-depth because, you know, marriage isn't something that really has crossed my mind. We have Nakomi back on the line with us.
Hola.
Hola. What would you do with your atheist wedding, Nakomi?
My atheist wedding, I'm not really sure. I'm like with, you know, you with that one. I haven't given it a whole lot of thought. One of the things that I thought about, or one of the things that came to mind, is entertainment. I am huge on entertainment, so I think if I do have a wedding, it's going to be a lot of entertainment going on, because I seem to enjoy that. And, you know, from dancers to singers on down, bring them all out. That's all I know right about now. And good food.
Yeah. Well, I can rap and I can chef at
you
the same time.
You want to rap at my wedding, William? Is that? Are you putting in, giving me the great
wedding? I want to do both things. Give me one of those headset microphones so I can be rapping right from the kitchen. Matter of fact, put the kitchen on the stage and put a DJ next to me so he can kind of scratch the pork chops. So, ever bacon. And that'll
right.
be a hit.
That's cool. What I will say is that I don't plan on spending a whole lot of money if I even get married at all. I mean, marriage is a big decision to make, you know. So I think there's other ways that you can, you know, create lifestyles with people and arrangements that don't necessarily have to incorporate marriage. So we'll see.
Now I want the tax benefit.
Oh, well, see, that gets my attention, too. we want the tax cuts now. But it just depends because it's a pretty big step, you know what I mean? That means what's mine is mine, and yours is yours, and all that good stuff, unless you got prenups and things like that in place, which I'm not opposed to, neither. But I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm an only child, and I'm just not big on sharing stuff legally like that. So, I mean, I'm just being honest, you know?
Right.
I can now I can see what my niece is going to be doing now. And that's what she is. She's that only child. Like, look at my new tablet. Your new I don't have a tablet. Come on, player.
Right? I mean, you know what's uncomfortable? It's uncomfortable when you think about, you know, someone being able to, even though, I mean, there's not a big issue with, you know, breaking up and splitting everything. But sometimes people really come up all in the name of being in love with someone. So it just depends on what means what to you.
Yes. I mean, ultimately, we don't need the word married. And before I wanted to, I was ready to move on to the next segment, but you brought in a new thought with the just want the tax benefits. I think if a lot of people would that atheist or otherwise, just started getting married and openly saying, we're just doing it for the tax benefits. And that would make people really reevaluate what this whole sanctity of marriage is and why it is, like, legislated in that for this to get into this religious-based institution, you get tax benefits from that. Like that's always been a funky sort of separation of church and state thought in my head that I don't really hear brought up when I download the debate podcast.
The interesting part is that it wasn't always like that. You know what I mean? The traditional rituals of marriage, it hasn't always involved the state. So it's interesting on, you know, the regulations that they have behind it, where it's like, you know, especially when you bring up things like gay marriage and stuff like that. It's like, that's more money for your state. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Depending on how you're looking at it. But I don't know. It's just weird how, you know, a connection like that with another person can have such a great impact on your life. And, you know, I'm just now getting comfortable with opening up to the whole idea of having a relationship and stuff like that within this last year. So you got to give people time to get, you know, comfortable and get their feet wet with some of this stuff. And, you know, I think there should be benefits for certain arrangements. I mean, why do you have to get married, you know what I mean, to get certain benefits? It's like if you've been with the same person for 20-some years, I mean, you have the whole common law in certain states, but it's still the benefits are different when it comes to that stuff. So, I don't know. It's an interesting topic, though.
Yeah, and that reminds me of an essay I read about how single people are kind of shafted as far as deals in general go. Like if you're just single and you live in the city, like everything that's on sale or is on a deal is like for families or couples. Like I wanted to shop at Sam's Club and BJ's and those kind of places where I could buy in bulk. And I'm single and I look like a maniac, but it's like you don't realize I'm getting toilet paper for the whole summer in one day. Like that's awesome. And like but like, you know, you go to restaurants and stuff. There is no single plate deal. No, there's like you get two plates, you get a deal. You get a family meal, you get a deal. There is no single deal. There is no single coupon. And then marriage, we don't need that word, magic jewelry, husband, wife. You didn't become husband. She didn't become wife. You're still dorky Dave and corny Karen. And, you know, past the hot sauce. Let's move into breeding and domestic life. Now, I am not particularly interested in breeding, but if I did adopt, I'd probably pick out a boy because I already know most of what's going on and what to expect and how to prepare. If I were to adopt a girl, my sense of humor would kick in, and I would adopt one of Euro descent and name her Ebony Kenya Shabazz because I'm retarded like that. But I would raise a unit of offspring in the same environment where I lived during the period of childhood. I want a kid to be around trees and tall grass. I want a kid to frequent the local grocery store for Halloween, to visit the local pumpkin patch, and live in seasons. I want October to be orange and to experience having snow days from school and go sledding. Like, these are things that I want because I want a kid to absorb these, familiar faces and surroundings and this ecological clock before the wacky bag of shit that society can throw in a young human's face. Just being around peers in puberty and popular culture, social trends, and these fucking hormones when they're in junior high and high school, before that happens, I want them to appreciate and respect the ecosystem they live in as a human. Now, with the shit throwing, where can this happen? It happens mostly in school, right? And now with school, I'm all about involvement from the start to the finish, and not with anger or frustration, yelling at you, Timmy, why did you get a B? You should have got an A. No, not like that. But to be involved because it's back to pragmatism. I simply find it logical to meet with the teacher and be aware of the test dates and the due dates and any extra credit available. Hell, I even want to know the other parents. They can come over for some blackberry cheesecake so we can talk it up and get to know the people that are raising the offspring that our offspring is hanging around. You know, while the kids go in the garage to play Gangsta Box Station 9000 video game or whatever stuff they're going to have out when I'm old. And, I don't know, Nakomi, how would you do? What do you think you would do, like, as far as involvement with a child in school? Oh. Uh-oh. We lost audio. Can we mute that one? All right. Now, I would not force a kid to play football, you know, because, like, this is one where I can admit that most of this is just me kind of sitting cozy in a social norm. Like, I know not to try to force a kid to play football just because I want to play football, you know, and I think that's a decent social norm. You know, if they want to play the harmonica, let them play the harmonica or the clarinet. They don't have to pick up the football, even though I would like that. It would make me smile, and I can handle it if my offspring falls for the idea that baseball is a sport and they want to engage in that activity instead of football. And no forcing a child to get into fitness like me, but we will practice the basic and simplistic exercises together and normalize that, you know, just get that as the daily routine. Because, and I think it's fair, you know, because I got plenty of exercise when I was young. My biological mother gave me my first 5-pound weight to use in 1989. And I got to do plenty of hiking through wooded areas and miles of cycling. Like, I got the opportunity, so I should, I believe the operative phrase is pay it forward. You know, and we even climbed, oh, what up there?
No, I said excellent about paying it forward. And, you know, with children, when they're little, I just say let them try out a few things, see what they like. But like, if you wanted to put them in music classes or a couple of sports, now personally I don't think a 3 or 5-year-old should be playing football. You know, that's a little bit too early to be knocking their little brains around their head. But, you know, like, you know, Little League Baseball or what is that? I forget what that's called, but the baseball is kind of tethered to the pole. And
T-ball. That, T-ball?
Yeah,
T-ball. Or tetherball? T-ball,
yeah,
T-ball. I man, it's sad when you see a kid strike out at that, though. I've seen that. I was like, oh, man, you didn't hit the non-moving object three times.
Right, right. But, you know, get them a chance to get out there, get active, you know, get some exercise in, learn some sportsmanship, you know, that teaches them how to share, how to work with others. You know, so I look at it more than just, you know, doing things to, you know, please the parents, you know, especially if a child is artistic in some kind of way, whether it's music or an art class or, you know, dance class or what have you, something so that child could know how to express themselves. So, yeah, those are all wonderful things. If I had children, I would definitely get them involved in the arts in some kind of way, probably have them take piano lessons or guitar lessons or whatever it is that they found enjoyable except the drum. And so, I ain't no drums coming in my house. But, you know, but other than that, yeah, you know, that's a good thing.
Yeah, and you just gave me another thought, something I got to make sure I don't force them into, because, like what, like say they get good at the accordion for some reason. My first thought is, oh, now you can enter the accordion competition. But that's only because I was arrogant when I was young and I wanted to enter the competition of whatever I got into. It's like my unit of offspring, or if I were to adopt a unit of offspring, might not have that arrogance. They might just want to do it for fun while I think, oh, I can defeat somebody with this. You know, like it's a new social weapon or something. So I know that they might not be the aggressor that I am with a skill. I like to say skill because I'm funky about the word talent. Talent makes it seem like you were just born with it, and it's not something that you had to see, be interested in, learn, and develop at it. So I go with skill over talent. And, yeah, I try not to use them. Huh, what up?
No, I said it can be both. You know, you can have a kid and, you know, whether you adopt a child or you have the child, and you automatically notice, let's just say this kid knows how to draw. You don't know where it came from or how the child developed it. You just gave the kid some pencils and they kept at it. And by the time they were two, they were, you know, drawing, you know, David, if you would, you know, And all you can do, you know, because that's a natural talent, you know, but it's still a skill as well because they have to work at it. They have to work to develop it. But, you know, you find out, and that's what I tell people, they have children and they notice that their children are instantly inclined to certain things. Encourage it and try to develop it. Because I have one nephew, or a great nephew, rather, and this young man is a master chess player. He was a master chess player by the time he turned 7.
Ah. And they just and he could see something I clearly can't see because I don't play chess at all. I don't even have a checkerboard. We don't even have board games. Yeah, I don't even play Sorry or Connect the Dots, Connect Four. Let's see. Now, I know kids like to be involved with what grown-ups are doing. You know, they don't like to be left out and feeling like something's being kept from them. And this could be a good time to introduce them to house chores and a good way to introduce kids to house chores. They won't see chores as a punishment for something they didn't do, but as something people do just because it's a normal domestic routine is to do chores. So if your kid is old enough to stand up and reach the sink, like while you're making dinner, load up the sink, be like, hey, knock out a couple of those dishes for me, help me out here. They feel like they're helping you out. They're getting like they're a part of making dinner now too, and not that they're being told just to do the dishes just because you're little and you're young, so you do dishes. Now make it a part of what is done by getting them involved. And next down, I would not exempt the young person that I'm raising from school sex ed, but I would still be teaching them myself based on the Kinsey scale. I think the Kinsey scale is damn good, and I think there's other scales around that that they can know, because one thing that I'm damn sure going to teach a kid is that gay exists, bisexual exists, that the six-point scale exists, and that asexual exists. Like, I don't want them to have the experience I had where I was 12 and I just figured it out. Like, oh, that's what's going on. How come nobody told me this when I was 5? You know, like, so I will not hold that sort of thing back. That's relevant information. Like, let's stop being scared. But I will be talking about that in the homophobic episode coming up. Get ready for that. And I hear it's something that I find normal. I hear people say, I read in their writings, and I hear people say, I'll just teach my kid all religions and let him or her pick out one. And it's like, I'm not against how others are raising their offspring, but I wouldn't make religion relevant at all, because it's not relevant. And when it does come up on television or in a song lyric, or if somebody approaches us at the farmer's market selling religion, handing out pamphlets, I will, without emotion, but maybe some humor, explain how it's about this old monster in the closet thinking that some humans have dragged into the new generation, but it was never needed and we don't need it, and that religion is just a hobby that went too far. Like, imagine if the people that played magic cards tried to live their lives based off of the game of magic cards. That is what these religious people are, and that is the simplistic way I would explain it to a child. You know, just that it is a hobby that has gone too far.
You said a hobby that has gone. Oh, that's interesting. But yeah, you know, the issues that you brought up, you know, as far as like the different types of people in this world, it's good to introduce your children and sit down and to explain to them and to answer their questions, because children are inquisitive, extremely inquisitive, and it's better that you sit down and talk to them about these issues than to have them learn it on the schoolyard, which is generally wrong and biased, and, you know, in some cases it can be a lot of ignorance, you know, included in that, so it's better that you sit down and explain certain things to your child and, you know, develop that relationship, because that allows the child to understand and know that they can pretty much talk to you about anything and everything. So that's a wonderful thing.
Man, in the neighborhood I lived in, Sunnydale in Spanaway, Washington State, when we were kids growing up, there was only one kid in the neighborhood whose mother was, like, embarrassingly religious. And, you know, because of, you know, the pointing and laughing and just the general just, like, you are really a silly person, she kind of backed off a bit. Like, her kid was the kid who couldn't have Teddy Ruxpin because there was that thing going around that Teddy Ruxpin was the devil. If you know, I'm showing my age now. This is something people that were around in the 90s know about, people thinking Teddy Ruxpin was the devil. It was like a teddy bear that you could play cassette tapes in his stomach, and it was just a scary thing, and he was the kid that wasn't allowed to have it. I remember later on, around the time that, you know, kids are learning about sex and what have you, he said a sentence that I cannot forget. He said, yeah, I want to have sex, but I don't want to stick it in her butt because that's how they get pregnant. I can't forget that sentence because I instantly knew it was wrong, and it's like, where are you getting your info? And you got to remember, this is the kid whose mother would not let him be in, like, sex ed or let him have a Teddy Ruxpin or, you know, just the Bone Thugs tape. No, there's a skull on that. I think that's scary. You know, like, it was special if he was allowed to come out for Halloween or if he was allowed to get a cool haircut. Like, but his mother did back off a little later, like shortly before that neighborhood kind of disbanded and wasn't the same anymore. And yeah, man, then that's why you got to give him the right information so that sentences like that do not get stuck in my head for the rest of my life. I still remember that. I don't want to stick it in her butt because that's how they get pregnant.
But of all places, what does he know about sticking anything in somebody's butt? And even, that's just, he heard it from somewhere. So not only he just bad information. Wow.
Yeah, it's just not the deal. So that's how I would do domestic life with a young person. Now, atheist funerals is going to be a short one, a fast one to hear. Now I know that my biological mother's flesh is buried somewhere, taking up space that could be used for growing food. And with that said, I don't care that these lovely cemeteries with all their big, grassy, healthy space in a place where there's plenty of annual precipitation, I really think our species is being silly with holding up these spaces for boxes with expired humans. Like, we are hoarding ourselves. We exist as an episode of Hoarders as long as we have cemeteries holding on to people when we could be farming with that land. Like, I was talking to Diane G on Wild Wild Left Radio, and we have the same idea, to just have our dead nude flesh out in the woods or off in a river somewhere, and let the bugs and smaller mammals feed off the flesh and let nature be nature. But funerals, though, I like funerals. Other than the stigma behind the word and the dress code for the event, I think we can liven funerals the hell up. Like, first off, I think they should be pre-death. So the person that the party is for can actually be there. And I think they should also be pre-death bed. All right, have the funeral while you can still at least boogie on the dance floor. You know, it's your last party. You don't want to bust the running man one more time? Now, for me, I would want to actually perform my own songs as like a pre-show to a breakdance battle and have my funeral just be a big-ass hip-hop event that I get to attend while I'm still alive. And you know what? I want to do other artists' songs too. I mean, since I'm dead, I'll do DRS's Gangsta Lean singing Rest in Peace to myself, pouring out a 40 for myself, for me, as my own homie, kind of like the Jesus crucifixion. I came to avenge myself. And wow. We can make it another snow event like the wedding, and we can have one totally tubular snowball fight, and that could be my funeral, one big snowball fight. But I just want to be pre-death and pre-death bed. Get up there and have some fun for the last day, knowing that you're going to die and it was the only life you got to live. And, you know, if we could just move our species, I understand we're not going to get rid of any and all superstitions and fairy tales, but our species could be so much further along without religion, and we could live fuller lives, and we could be more altruistic and more empathetic. And we could be a species that goes a lot further intellectually, electronically, physically. We could be so much better for our ecosystem if we would let go of old monster-in-the-closet thinking that happened with all cultures across the planet. All the cultures made their monster-in-the-closet thinking. But in 2013, our species, that's the childhood of it. Like, we turned the light on now. We invented the light bulb. We could turn it on and see that there's no monster in the closet. So we can do away with that. We can put the toys back in the toy box, and as a species, we can move forward as adults. Overrated, underrated. I just have one that I thought of. And, just think about this in life. Overrated. Seeing an ex-romantic companion undergoing excruciating challenges in life. Come on, that's whack. Underrated, seeing your ex having a good time, wearing a yellow tank top and new jeans and shit, right? And much better. You don't want to see them having a horrible time asking for $5. You know, you want to see them doing well, feeling well, and in turn, you'll be happy to see them, and they'll be happy to see you doing well, and you can laugh about that old inside joke that you guys had from the old job where you met. So, overrated, seeing them doing terrible. Underrated, seeing them doing great, and you're doing great. It's, you know, let's reach for that. That goes back to empathy, folks. Now, William Lane Craig, this is a guy I love. If you get into the debates or anything, you know, you listen to any of those shows or watch him on the YouTubes there, he's inadvertently hilarious. I find him adorable. I like to listen to his podcast. And on his last one, he read a piece, excuse me, he read a piece by Karen Kinstiglia. These names, I can't pronounce them well. They glaze over it for the time of the show. It's only a 28-minute show. It's usually like 17 minutes, a short show. So they glaze over it real fast. And they note that she was raised Catholic and used to use God to get through rough patches. Now, she then shares that her 7-year-old is an atheist. And when the child is asked why, the child says, she knows too much about science. Now, of course, they see this as a problem. Now, the co-host finishes the opening monologue and presenting the show, and then Craig goes straight to the part where the woman left her husband, and he implies that that's got to be part of it. And they go further into how the child answers questions, and she says things like, well, after you go outside the Milky Way, there's a lot of stuff out there, which, I mean, that's a 7-year-old making a 7-year-old sentence that is fairly logical, and, I mean, I'd like to see you defeat that, Craigers. Now, they think that the background – whoop, I hit a little button on my telephone. They think that the background factors – are making the child reject God, these background factors, not having a father figure, and their God is supposed to be a man looking at you. So since she doesn't have the father figure man, she's rejecting God the man. Can't you feel their male privilege melting away? Now, Craigers goes on to build a no-true Scotsman that the woman being an ex-Catholic, she isn't supposed to have an anthropomorphic idea of God. A very smooth no-true Scotsman that he slipped in there. This guy, he's so slick and nice with it. I love his style. That's why I play his show. And then he starts to get a little creepy talking about wanting to sit down and talk with the kid. I would love to sit down and talk to her about the cosmological neighbor. And then they blame mom for not being able to answer the child's questions while in the same breath, they say she needs to stop being proud of the child for thinking for herself. They certainly did that. And then, of course, he has to promote his book because, you know, old Craigers is a book hustler for real. And this time it's actually a series of books for the children. And ironically, he quotes from the first book of the series because it's a logical move for the customer to start from the beginning to make sure you buy the whole series because William Lane Craig has bills, baby. They don't pay themselves. Now, he goes on to subtly paint her as a misandrist for disagreeing with the church on abortion and same-sex marriage, and then, yeah, I'm quoting him, and what she calls women's rights. I'm not sure what that means. That's how he said it. Like, he was mad. And then his co-host mentions the last line in the post, but Craigers ignores that and goes back to how she sees this God as an anthropomorphic man, and he emphasizes the word man in every sentence he quotes that has that word in it, and he links it to rebellion from the man. And then the co-host, he begins to try to build a narrative on communicating with the children, and Big Lane just cuts him off to say, oh, one would be very important. It would be for the fathers to be involved with the instruction of their children. And then he notes a guy named Paul Vitz, who studied what he calls the great atheist – and found that they were all raised without fathers. Now, I don't know how the hell to be a great atheist. I guess I didn't pray my ass off today, so give me my trophy. I'm a great atheist. Now, he says that part of the problem with children being atheist is also a lack of a father figure. He just keeps coming back to this, and he says it's because the fathers are supposed to do the spiritual teaching, and the mother reinforces what he says. Do your job, woman. Now, they read a letter from another woman responding positively to what this original post is, and the co-host says, well, that just makes me want to throw up. And then he continues to express his disgust. Then they say, we won't use the Pascal's wager. Then they use the Pascal's wager. Like, they pulled a Romney within like half a second. It was beautiful. And then he notes that the woman was happy with the daughter having self-reliance in choosing not to follow religion. And then, now this guy's bold. Like, he just blatantly redefines the word content to say the Bible verse already promotes self-reliance in the Philippians book of his Bible. He says the word content now means self-reliance. But this show is about to end in a second. Go ahead and Google the definition of the term content, and then think about the fact that Kreger's just looked in the Philippians book, found a verse he liked, looked at the word content, and said that means self-reliance now. This is the barbershop. We're gonna find my dude Alfred. I'm sending out the Amber Alert. We're gonna get him back. He's very smart. I like his style. Check out his YouTube page, Dragnocked. Check out the Black Freethinkers Praxis, RSS. Check out the Reason, Science, and Skepticism show. Read the Roads to Reality, excuse me, blog. That's RHOADES, Roads to Reality. Go read it, all right? Go read Annalise Fonza. It's I don't have time to spell it. It's spelled how it sounds, all right? Go read Annalise Fonza. Go read it, all right? And check out Father Teresa. We're going to be talking about different types of homophobia. And the last one I talked about, the patriarchal bargain, all right? And we're closing it out. Kim, can you blast me with the closeout theme music, the funk?
Oh, yeah. And don't forget, Friday we have Mario's show. We're doing an atheist Bible study. We're going to be talking about ignored scriptures. So that's this Friday coming. And since we're sending shout-outs, make sure you all check out the Kiwu Hutchison page, which is Black Femme Lens, and then Black Skeptics Group on Free Thought Blog. So, you know, another couple of people that you all can check out. And on that note, we're out.
Black free thinkers, where we walk by sight with a bright flashlight to illuminate night. Free thought, we don't walk by faith in the lost mind state, cause it's not quite safe. We don't recruit, we're not peers from a church, so don't be spooked, we're not here to convert. The only truth that's not pulled from a text, show me proof that's not good after death. This is the challenge to think for yourself, break it out of the bottle and speak what you felt. 310-982-4273 to get through, a venue for community, and this is the zone. If you'd like to speak with Kim, then pick up the phone. 310-982-4273 to get through. The next tree branch is Rainer, and it's best you listen to Reason, Science, and Skepticism. It's loaded with straight facts, inspiring and dope. She can make Bill Nye retire his lab coat. Humans are hilarious, and every other Friday I'd like to hear commentary on culture, people. So I hit up Super Mario and bring in Emmeline to discuss why we're capable of ultra evil. It's normal for my brain to have a two-way street, but if there's collisions, well then you got to just mention it. And don't be afraid of where the truth may lead, ignoring your position of cognitive dissonance. When Father Teresa preaches, it's hard to stop. So Kim paired me up with Alfred in the barbershop. I have extended family in all these places now, as the free thought tree pollinates around. Yeah. This is the challenge to think for yourself, break it out of the bottle and speak what you felt. 310-982-4273 to get through. A venue for community, and this is the zone. If you'd like to speak with Kim, then pick up the phone. 310-982-4273 to get through.